Good morning. Good morning. I wanted to start off, first of all, by just thanking the Freedom From Religion Foundation. It's an honor to receive this scholarship. And I was trying to figure out what I wanted to call my speech. I thought about calling it Good Without God or Teleportation Without Magic. And I really just wanted to talk a bit about my thoughts about this whole thing. I'll start off by telling a story. Yesterday, as I was coming to the hotel here from the airport on the bus driver asked what I came here for, and I told him that I was coming here for a conference, and he kept asking more questions, and I've been living in the Midwest for so long that I really didn't want to come forward with anything. And I told him it was a political convention that was going on, and I told him it was the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And he asked for more details, and I told him that one of the main things the group does is for the separation between church and state. And he started talking about how if that becomes a problem, then the churches will start being taxed, and that would be horrible, and churches won't be tax-free anymore. And then I said, well, if churches can inform public policy, then why shouldn't they be taxed? If they're ruling government, then, you know, why are they tax-free if they're informing government policy? And the conversation pretty much ended there. But I guess the main thing I wanted to talk about was just the context that, you know, my billboard says I can be good without God. And it's all in that context of freedom from religion. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that I think it's interesting that it's always in the context of religion. That one person in the blogosphere talked about how they didn't like the quote so much just because it is still in the context of God, and how being an atheist or being a free thinker in this country is always in the context of God. You can't just be who you are. It's always in the context of being the other from religion. And so I guess that was the main reason that I participated in this campaign. I'm usually quite a shy person, and I don't talk very much about my religious beliefs with colleagues or coworkers, and so I was really quite surprised to find out what a warm reception I got from people that I volunteered with at a suicide crisis line and people who I did work with in the public health department and in the university. And I think it's so important now, after I've participated in this, that I am open about my lack of belief or what I do believe in, because people make a lot of assumptions. People assume that if someone does something that is labeled in our society as heroic, if someone's a police officer, if someone's in the military, if someone is a doctor, people always tend to make the assumption that this person is somehow religious. And the main thing is that I think we should be open about who we are, because not everyone has to believe in God to have ethics. And I think that personally, it takes a lot more courage and it takes a lot more introspection to find your own ethical code in life without having it ascribed to you by a book that you're following, in order to have experience and to think for yourself and find your own way to know what's right and wrong, and to think about moral situations in a context of gray instead of things being so black and white. I think that's something that we all value here, and I think it's something that I've found to be so great as I've come out as an atheist, as I've come out as a secular humanist, that I've met so many other people who think similarly. And it's just an honor to be here today in such a large community and to know that the community is out there. The only other thing that I wanted to address today was just that I thought it was interesting how many hateful things were said by the religious community. I had my contact information blocked, so I didn't hear any of them personally. But the community was saying that this was somehow an attack on churches by my saying that I'm an atheist, I'm a good person without God. Somehow that's me trying to proselytize there, that somehow we're all trying to ruin religion or something just by being ourselves. By saying that I'm an atheist, somehow that diminishes someone else's belief in their own religion, and I think that's ludicrous, personally. The only other thing was that the Christian groups tried to say this was an attack on the black community or on the black church because it happened to be on a black church's property, and I am also black, so therefore the Freedom From Religion Foundation is now trying to undermine the African American community. Well, the mole is here in our terrorist cell, since atheists are the most distrusted group in the United States, and I guess it's out in public now. But on that note, it's an honor to see all of you here. It's an honor to receive this scholarship, and I think that we should all be open, because it's just, it's better to have people understand that the assumptions they make about the person that they meet aren't always true. And just because the person that you meet is friendly or educated or knows something about religion doesn't mean that they are religious. And it's so great to see and meet so many other people who I can guess think similarly. Thank you.
Well, I am so honored to be here, and thank you so much for this award, especially to Annie Laurie and Dan, who are definitely heroes for all of us. And also, oh boy, I feel like I should definitely be sharing this award with these young people, Jessica and Harrison and Dylan, who gave us all very inspiring speeches, and I'm very proud of all of you. Before I begin to talk and tell you a little bit about what's happening in Hawaii or what has been happening in the past, I would just like to show you a brief video that has some clips from Hawaii news media about things we've done in the past. So just a down arrow.
Now get the whole story. This is KITV 4 News at 5.
A familiar site at the Kolekole Pass in Wahiawa is no more. The Army today tore down the Schofield Cross, saying it would cost too much to repair. But as News 4's Demi Fawcett reports, a citizen group says the landmark came down because of their lawsuit.
The Army has $285 billion a year. The cross was a minor expense, but a major exposure. We think it violates the First Amendment, and we're glad that they're taking it down. We don't have to continue with the lawsuit.
So your kid joins a youth club, right? A place to meet other kids, to learn and grow and have some fun. And each kid gets a membership card, a card the child has to sign. And on that card it says, I believe in God. Have a problem with that?
If you don't believe in God, then signing a card that says, I believe in God, is patently offensive.
The Boys and Girls Club of Navy Hawaii is removing the phrase, I believe in God, from its membership cards.
Talk over whether multiple theories of origin should be taught in Hawaii classrooms is stirring controversy at tonight's Board of Education meeting.
Creationism will not be allowed to be taught in Hawaii's public school science curriculum.
This after a four-hour debate on the subject.
I am very pleased. This puts an end to the controversy, and we're not going to have the educational system dragged into what is, in essence, going to be a legal battle.
The demonstrators say they won't go away until the Scouts stop discriminating against homosexuals.
We are protesting the Boy Scouts because they discriminate. They discriminate against gay youth, and they discriminate against youth who do not believe in God.
If you're morally straight, don't discriminate.
A group who says lawmakers have no right to post religious symbols on their state capitol office doors struck back today.
Here's the Darwin symbol attached to Senator Musgrove's
grandpa.
The group says religious symbols violate the separation of church and state, so they posted their own symbols on the doors as a protest.
Some folks are questioning tomorrow's Good Friday holiday. A handful of protesters making their way through the state capitol today, upset that it is a state and county holiday. Activist Mitch Kale, dressed as Jesus, was accompanied by members of the Hawaii Citizens for Separation of State and Church.
It is an exclusively Christian holiday. There are no secular precepts to Good Friday whatsoever. And so we would like to see the state take action to create an Aloha Day holiday in its place.
An advocacy group is protesting prayer tonight at the Honolulu City Council. The group, the Separation of Church and State, believes the invocation at the start of council meetings is unconstitutional.
Reverend Kim of the Christ United Methodist Church.
Mitch Kale spent hours going over city records. In his mind, they all show one thing.
And they're showing favoritism to the Christian religion over the wide diversity of religions that are in Hawaii.
I don't believe having an invocation at a public meeting is in violation of the Constitution of the United States.
Kale just points to his research and says the numbers don't lie.
So that in the last year, the last 12 months, all of the prayers except one before the Honolulu City Council have been of a Christian nature.
A group that advocates the separation of church and state wants the city to remove four words from the oath taken by new Honolulu police officers.
The oath for new Honolulu police officers ends this way.
So help me God.
Kim, until tonight, the police officer's oath ended with the phrase, "So help me God," but it was removed after a local citizens group complained the phrase violated our state constitution.
The reference to God was removed after a complaint by the president of the Hawaii Citizens for the Separation of State and Church. He cites an article of the state constitution.
That article says that the oath that police officers shall take, and it spells out the actual wording of the oath, but it does not include "So help me God."
This is KGMB 9 News at 5.
Good evening to you. I'm Jim Mendoza.
And I'm Jade Moon. Our top story tonight, a code of honor controversy at McKinley High School.
It has to do with the words "love for God" in the school's honor code. The American Civil Liberties Union today filed a federal lawsuit on behalf of a McKinley student. The suit asks the court to remove a reference to God from the school's code of honor. At KGMB9's Brooks Barrett joins us now. He's got the very latest on this.
Jim, the McKinley Code of Honor has been around since 1927. It is part of the school's history, but the ACLU and a soon-to-be sophomore at McKinley say the code has got to go.
This is posted in the classrooms. It's part of the student handbook, and it probably appears elsewhere, although those are the two areas that we're concerned about most now.
Mitch Kale, who heads the citizens group, says the reference to God is both unconstitutional and a violation of state law.
In the public schools, the courts have been really quite adamant, and this goes back to decisions that took prayer out of the public schools, that mandate that the Ten Commandments cannot be posted in the schools. Basically, everything that a school does has to have a secular educational purpose. It cannot have a religious purpose.
In the Unresolved Problem segment tonight, we continue our investigation into the holy war that the American Civil Liberties Union has launched against God in America. So are we going to play this game, Mr. Kale, or are we going to be honest?
It's your program, Bill. We can play whatever game you want.
Why now?
Well, because it's inappropriate for a public school to be telling students what to believe and how to feel. And I'm really surprised that you would actually support the government telling students what to think and believe.
I'm not supporting anything like that.
Well, lawmakers got to work. The day began with a scuffle and an arrest.
It's a violation of the Constitution.
God bless you guys.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
This is a violation of the Constitution.
Just as the invocation was being delivered in the Senate chamber, protesters from the Hawaii Citizens for the Separation of State and Church interrupted and said prayer in the Capitol is a violation of the U.S. Constitution. 7 months after he was hauled off in handcuffs and charged with disorderly conduct, a judge has found Kale not guilty. But the story doesn't end there. Brooks Baer has a report you'll see only on Hawaii News Now. Brooks?
Keahi, Mitch Kale contends our state legislature has been violating both the U.S. Constitution and the state constitution by praying during official business. And when lawmakers ignored his request to stop, he staged a brief but perhaps very effective protest.
When Senate President Colleen Hanabusa pounded the gavel and introduced a reverend to deliver the daily invocation, Kale was waiting.
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love for us and the opportunity to be in this place.
My name is Mitch Kale, and I object to this prayer on the grounds that it is a violation of the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. I object.
Kale's protest lasted about 7 seconds. Then he stopped talking and sat down. But the sergeant-at-arms was determined to remove Kale. When he resisted, he was forcefully removed and roughed up.
That's it. I'm what's known as a public troublemaker. And I would encourage all of you to join me in doing the same. Part of coming and accepting this award, it's really not about me. It's not about an organization. It's about participating in your community. And I think that when you do participate in your community, whether you go to a city council meeting or go to a board of education meeting or go to your legislature, this is where you see the most egregious violations of separation of state and church. And I do want to clarify that I always use the term state and church, not church and state. And that's because the state is superior to church always. And we need to remember that. So I guess I didn't prepare a speech, but I guess what I'll do is begin by telling you a little bit about the incident that happened at the Capitol, which is really why I'm here. I have been protesting prayer in city council meetings and the legislature for over 15 years. I am personally deeply offended when I am forced to participate in some sort of a prayer. It causes a disconnect in my brain, and I have to say, I actually get angry. And the question I have when people say, well, why are you so angry? I just have to ask, why aren't you? I think everyone should be angry at this sort of thing. And so you can write letters, and that's a great way to start. I think it's very important that when you do identify a violation of state church separation that you remain calm initially, and that you start out by writing a letter of complaint. Make your voice heard. Make it known that what the government is doing is improper and that you would like them to stop. Sometimes you have to write more than one letter, and don't be discouraged if you're ignored. I had been ignored on the issue of legislative prayer long enough. And so I decided that I had a right that when the gavel is pounded at the legislature to bring the session to a start, and when the president of the Hawaii Senate invites the members of the audience to please rise, I knew at that point that I had every right to stand up and object to a violation of my civil rights. And so not only did I write letters of complaint, I wrote letters of warning that we would be coming to the Capitol and we would be standing up to object to the prayer if it violated the Constitution. Now, we had examined videotapes of previous sessions and had seen that the prayers had been, over 90% of them were overtly Christian, you know, pretty much always ending in Jesus' name. And so we made good on our threat, and on the day of the incident, which was April 29th, 2010, we wrote letters to the President of the Senate, also with copies to the Attorney General, that we were going to come and object to the prayer. And so they knew we were coming, and they got set up for it. They had members of the Sheriff Department there. And actually, prior to going into the Senate chamber that morning, we went and sat down with the head of security at the Capitol and explained to him our rights and explained to him what we were going to do. And he already knew of our plan and expressed that his officers would be neutral. I didn't know that that meant beating us up. But but anyway, so we went up to the gallery and waited for the prayer to begin. And as you saw just a little bit in the video, I don't want to play the whole video. Although if you want to see it, I'll show it to you. The video that we shot. But what happened was, as I made my objection, I was summarily singled out and dragged out of the chambers. And I want to make a note of this because my wife, Holly, who is also very active in all sorts of causes in Hawaii, was also in the Senate chambers that day. And she also stood up a little bit later and made the exact same objection that I did. But they were really intent on singling me out. And when the prayer ended and they were dragging me out and you heard me saying this is a violation of the Constitution, what was happening in the gallery, you couldn't hear it very well, was all of the people in the gallery yelling, "Amen, amen." And so what the government had decided was, voicing approval to the prayer was okay, but voicing disapproval to the prayer got you dragged out. And in my case, it got me dragged out of the Senate chambers, thrown to the ground, after having my arm badly bent behind my back, thrown to the ground. And then after they did this to me, they noticed that a friend of mine, Kevin, was filming the whole thing with a video camera, and the media was there too, but they realized that that had just been recorded, and so they attacked him. And this Senate Sergeant at Arms, who is actually a former WBA world champion boxer, Benvenuto Villaflor, actually came over and gave the camera a direct left from a professional boxer, and it's quite a sight to see when he punched directly into the camera, and then told his underlings, his minions, to get that camera. And they set on my friend Kevin and knocked him to the ground, smashed the camera on the ground, attacked him. All the while, five deputy sheriffs stood by and watched the whole thing and did nothing. And then as soon as that little fracas was over, I was thrown to the ground, handcuffed, and taken away. I was charged with disrupting government operations, I was charged with resisting arrest, and I was charged with disorderly conduct. Of course, to be honest with you, like I said, I'm a public troublemaker, and this put a big smile on my face the minute it started to happen. I knew that this was going to be a great opportunity. And so I was carted off to jail, and actually, I wasn't carted off to jail. I was taken to the Hawaii State Prison, which is on Oahu, and I was put in a lockup. And as part of their intimidation tactics, there were three lockup cells that I was brought to, and two of them were empty, and one had a prisoner who's incarcerated, and they put me in the cell with him. Now, he was a very nice gentleman. His name was Castro, and he'd been in prison for 17 years. It was fine. It was cold and uncomfortable. But after about 2.5 hours, Holly came and bailed me out of jail, and I was released. And that started about a 6-month process of defending myself. Now, thankfully, there are progressive-minded lawyers in Hawaii, just like there are almost everywhere, and if you seek them out, they're willing to help you. And my 6-month defense, which included 4 hearings and a trial, was done completely pro bono. I was not charged a dime. So I want to thank my attorney, Bill Harrison, for that. And immediately following my acquittal, which was a really a wonderful thing, because the judge in this case, and this is once again a criminal case, she looked at the video and her mind was instantly made up. I was innocent. And she went on from the bench to say that not only was it wrong what they did to me, but that I had every right under those circumstances to stand up and object to that prayer because it was a violation of my constitutional rights. And that made a huge difference. And I think that this law would apply almost anywhere, and that's because any of you who might be subjected, and I'm, you know, once again, everybody has to make decisions for themselves, but if any of you were arrested under the same circumstances, I would assume that even in Texas or Georgia that you would be acquitted. And so it's very important that you understand that in these cases, we're on the right side of the law. We're the ones with truth on our side. So we can do these things with extreme confidence. We don't have to worry too much about whether or not we're on the wrong side of things. Confidence is very important in this. Believe in the ideas of separation and believe in the Constitution, and you pretty much can't go wrong with what you do. And I think that that's something that I would encourage everybody to keep in mind. But anyway, it's, to make a long story short, I have filed a lawsuit. We have filed a lawsuit in federal court. It's a 14-count lawsuit against the state of Hawaii, against the members of the Sergeant at Arms, against members of the Sheriff's Department. And that lawsuit is currently proceeding in federal court. We have a a settlement conference on October 17th, and it could be resolved on that day, or we could find ourselves going to trial sometime in early next year. But so far, from my perspective, everything in this case has been positive, so I'm very pleased with that. But I want to carry this forward as an example of not that you should go out and get yourself arrested or whatnot, but that when our rights are violated so flagrantly, right in our face, we need to object. We need to say, what you're doing is wrong, and you need to stop it. And it takes, these young people are so inspiring. I mean, I'm a 230-pound man, 6'2". Little Jessica, she's going to have a little bit of a problem. What I really would encourage everybody to do is to identify the violations that are going on in your community, because they are. I mean, that's, as we see, what did they say, 475 letters of complaint this year from the FFRF. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I would be willing to wager that there is not a government body in this country that doesn't at some time at least violate the First Amendment in this way. Sometimes it's just, I think we were at a function recently, and just out of the blue, it wasn't even on the agenda, someone from the audience said, well, we should have a prayer. And then she proceeded to go up in front of all the people and to say a blatantly Jesus prayer. And actually, it was interesting because my wife, as soon as she came to sit down, my wife went over to talk to her and said, that was highly inappropriate. That was very offensive of you to do. I said, you shouldn't say a prayer, or if you're ever going to say a prayer, you should keep Jesus out of it. And she said, well, I can't say a prayer if I can't say Jesus. And so we said, well, then don't say one. And so I guess what I'm saying is that just like we don't tolerate overt statements of racism, you don't tolerate it. You hear it at a party, you hear somebody say it, you don't tolerate it. We have to sort of adopt that tactic when it comes to religion. Because let's face it, this might be controversial to say this, but religion is a form of discrimination. And every time somebody voices their truth, and I'm really specifically talking about in public forums, it is a form of discrimination, and therefore we have to counter that. We have to say something against it. So I guess I would really like to open things up for questions as well. If you have questions about any of the situations that we've had in Hawaii over the years, I'd be happy to talk about them, or even hypothetical situations that you might have in your area. I'm not a legal expert. Like I said, I'm a public troublemaker. And so I can answer the questions from that perspective.